talents as well, and sharing a closer look at Merle Haggard and an investigation of him and his work through his works and pieces of his life story. Thanks again for coming by.
Well, thank you for having me very much.
All right, David Cantwell, one more time as we'll get you back to what we're doing here at TonyBasilio.com. And I thank David Cantwell. Check it out, Merle Haggard, The Running Kind. Tony Basilio along with David Bivens. David owns the Bop Shop in beautiful Fountain City, where I've been blessed enough to teach. David, I came to you about a year ago.
Yeah.
Right, about a year ago to take lessons.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, you got me playing.
Well, you came in playing, Tony, so.
What's your advice to somebody like me who played for a while yet never took lessons and having trouble getting to that next, taking that next step? We're going to play a little music today, but do you have any advice to somebody that's kind of stuck?
Well, just try and refresh. Hit the refresh button, you know, any way you can. So if it's finding a teacher or getting on YouTube, getting a book, doing something different.
Where was I when I walked in to see you?
I think you were pretty good. When you played, you've been playing for 20 years, and I knew pretty quickly that you were pretty experienced. I think what you didn't have was very much music performing experience. So you don't have the challenge of having to, you know, you can't stop.
you know
what I mean? Like, you just have to play.
And, yeah.
You know,
can't stop. You get on stage. Yeah. And so today we're going to play some stuff, and I'm going to mess up, and you're going to mess up. But the reality is that most people that listen aren't going to hear our imperfections. We have a tendency to focus on our imperfections.
Yeah.
But life is imperfect.
That's right. Yeah.
We're going to do our 10 Years Gone that I stole from a guy online named Jim Richter, who I saw do a mandolin version of this. He had kind of a mandolin arrangement of it. We've both decided it's better than the record. We don't want to offend the Led Zeppelin people. But it's pure, it's stripped down, and it really lets the music side of the thing speak.
I think so. I like it.
All right, let's do our thing. Here we go. Bop Shop, by the way, online, David, how do they find the Bop Shop?
TheBopShop.net.
Bop Shop?
The.
TheBopShop.net.
Yeah.
TheBopShop.net. And this is 10 years.
Roger, Romeo, Hey, what is up? What is up? Good Thursday evening to you. What's going on? Neutral Zone right here. A week out from the Super Bowl. You got a happy clone in here with his Broncos looking to tackle Cam Newton and those Carolina Panthers. Hats off to the Panthers. Great year. No one cares about the Pro Bowl. The draft was last night. Slept through that. All seven of the Pats Pro Bowl that were announced to the Pro Bowl will not play. I guess you can't blame them, though, man. These guys just kill themselves. As much as I'd like to pile on the Cheatriots, I'll take it. Hugh Jackson hasn't even talked with Billy Football. It is interesting. Welcome into another edition right here of the Neutral Zone with Clone right here, 200-5402 if you want to jump in. 200-5402. As we've got a lot going on right here, a lot of NBA action, college basketball, the Vols, of course. Give another one away. The Lady Vols, of course, as Keith Hatfield's just been breaking it down here lately with the downfall of the Lady Vols. So, you know, we've got Jacoby gets called out for his attack on the Lady Wildcats, or a player, therefore, for the Wildcats. So a doctor's basically came out and said he'd bet his medical license that Orenthal Simpson has CTE. So, oh, let's hey, look, there's no doubt that I'm sure that was definitely the reason why he could not fit the glove while on the stand, and then certainly it caused him to lose his mind and go drive that white Bronco down the L.A. freeway. Hey, welcome in, 200-5402 if you'd like to jump in with us. Anyone see the Calgary Flames defenseman Weidman? That was crazy. I don't know that I've seen, I don't know, maybe outside of the high school football kids that kind of went off on, and Big Will, if you want to call in and defend those kids, that's fine. We'll debate it. But, those kids that, the coach allegedly, you know, put them up to, basically co-cocking that official in high school football. I'll be honest with you, man. I mean, if it were Belichick, and you want to run a tall sweep with a, you know, a fullback or have a guard in there that might could just, you know, roll up the, you know, the knee or the ankle there on Belichick. I'm not saying I would shed a tear, but, hey, it is though a little over a week away. You're looking live as we are excited about this Super Bowl. We are definitely excited about this Super Bowl. Us Bronco fans, Peyton fans, even Lambrito is gonna pull for my donkeys, as he likes to call them. Anyone but the Patriots. So I get it. I get it. Lambrito's on board. He's on board with a winner. Suckers want money talks, but it can't touch my free lock box. I'm going to get you some prop bets, courtesy of Maul Paxwell. We're going to go ahead and get you fired up for the Super Bowl, the prop bets, wardrobe malfunction, could it be another, you know, something just zany, crazy stats, maybe a Peter Poker call. Lord knows, I don't know how early he started today, but love to hear from Peter Poker on who he thinks.
One, two, three, five, one, two, three, 5 stars. One, two, three, 5 stars.
Steve from Lexington, you know that that guy probably hasn't had to take his Viagra for probably a couple weeks. I mean, this guy is hard to the core. Hardcore, man. For some recruiting.
Yeah.
Hey, dude. I got John Tweet wanting some Turnpike Troubadours. Man, that's like jumping from Sammy Hagar to the Troubadours. Dude, that's like Lambrito turning his nose up at some Miller Lite, man. He just couldn't have any high life. He had to keep it with Miller Lite, man.
So what are the big matchups in this game? I tell you what, you know, one positive I see from it. You know, obviously Hart says Denver. I think the game could be incredibly just entertaining, exciting. I think it could be one of the finest ever. And I love the fact that the line keeps going up. Mall Paxwell. And this team, this defense, man, I mean, you're basically just dousing fuel right on the fire right there. You're just like, yeah, you keep waking that bear up, poking him. TJ Ward comes out and says, let the line, let everyone believe that. I tell you what, man, a fantastic defense, but you know, I hear comparisons all the time. People are saying, oh, this Carolina defense is, you know, this is the same situation that Denver ran. Listen, this is totally different. Dynamically, offensively speaking, yeah, Cam Newton, I think, at this point in his career versus Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't as big on Sammy Hagar, but, you know, I kind of like David Lee Roth. But I like BG vocals, though, I think. I always saw Eddie Van Halen. Now, he obviously had good taste in women, too.
.200-5402 if you want to jump in with us. But the comparison that people keep laying out there is that this is another matchup for the Broncos, AFC champs, sort of like 2 years ago against Seattle. I totally disagree. I think offensively it's a buzzsaw with Cam Newton and the way he plays, every angle that he can bring, and he can make a play out of just nothing. But I tell you what, man, I don't think you can compare it to that Seattle defense. That Seattle defense, you want to talk about Big Wheel? Tony, he's got some dog in him. Hey, listen, this team is good. Kuechly's good. Quan Short's good. No doubt. You know, they may get a Jared Allen who's playing on one wheel. He's liable to be, you know, North Dallas 40. They'll probably have him all coked up. There's not a doubt in my mind that defense is, you know, the stats say they're 16th ranked in the league. That is so misleading. They play some pretty high-powered offenses when you look at that throw the football. So those numbers are skewed a little bit. New Orleans early in the year before they have injuries. Heavy pass. Passing numbers inflate those defensive adjusted stats. I think Carolina is better than a 15th, 16th rank. I think they're in the top probably 5 to 7. Certainly the Broncos are right there, you know, one of the top two. But I don't even think you can put the Broncos in that. Now, pass rush, absolutely. They're one of the teams that can get after you with three linemen. And on the edge, I mean, if Von Miller doesn't drive up, you know, Copper Mountain or up, you know, the best thing they need to do is just have somebody keep him out of the bars.
Yes.
200-5402 if you want to jump in with us right here in the neutral zone.
You say yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on to Tennessee to be a five-star.
They're lighting up right here, baby. Lighting up like the scoreboard. The final 3 minutes of the game, Tennessee Vols are gassed in basketball. Just not a lot of depth right there for this basketball Vols team and Coach Barnes. But back to my Broncos thing, Seattle defense. That defense had some serious dog in them. And once Cam Chancellor... I really believe ever since that hit on the first drive 2 years ago in the Super Bowl on Demaryius Thomas, he's a different player since then. It's almost like when Ray Lewis bent CJ2K, basically folded him up into a pretzel. He was never the same. Now we know him as CJ1K. Let's get it going right here. Neutral zone, 200-5402 if you want to jump in. We might even do a little periscoping here in a little while. Let's see what we got right here. Let's keep it, let's go NFL here tonight, boys. Let's keep it going here. Who we got right here batting leadoff? What do you say, Philly?
What's going on?
Not much, my man. How's it going? What's shaking over in Sono?
I heard you got some Colorado Kool-Aid last week. Is that true?
Say again?
I heard you got you some Colorado Kool-Aid last week.
Oh, that's kind of calling for me.
I heard you went out to Denver. Is that true?
Buddy, Bronco fans, we show up. We show up.
Well, I mean, I think they've gone to 8 Super Bowls now, so they're, you could say they're one of the, you know, elite franchises in pro football. I mean,
yeah.
They're about winning, and they're not dumb like a former team I used to root for.
Jarrah Jones.
You mean the facelift?
Yes.
But, I really think the key of the game, though, Clone, is turnovers. If Peyton Manning continues not to turn the ball over, they'll have a chance and win an ugly game. Because the last two victories they had against Pittsburgh and New England were ugly, but they were ugly defensive games.
Yeah, they were, Philly. I still say Peyton's got... obviously, you want to be able to control it. I don't believe they're just going to be able to run the football. I think they're going to have to. I'll say this one area, and if Thomas Davis has any issues with that broken arm, now he'll play. He'll be out there in some sort of cast. But I tell you, Kuechly is phenomenal, and he can show a lot of, you know, disguises, run support, drop back into coverage. Denver's really got to be able to get something out of their wide receivers. You know, they've got one of the top elite cornerbacks in the league, and I would imagine they're going to put him on Demaryius. You got to lock Demaryius Thomas up. If he catches and he gets just a couple steps, there's not a lot of guys in the league that can catch him. He's so strong, but he drops so many balls. It's not even funny. That's what's frustrating. It's gonna have to be Sanders. It's gonna have to be someone, that, you know, yeah. Denver's got some other guys like a Caldwell. Yeah. It's gonna be tough. I agree with you. I just kind of think, I don't know that we've seen Peyton ever come into a big game. Philly, help me remember. If I'm wrong here, correct me. But can you remember Peyton Manning ever coming into such a big game? And really, the pressure's not there on him. I don't know
really,
that the it really isn't.
On, the other team, really, because they got one loss, and you know.
And you could say, well, this HGH and the Al Jazeera. I don't think Peyton's even. That's not even going to be an issue. Sure, they're going to ask those questions, but I really do. And I do think Cam. I think Cam Newton. One of the things that he probably did not need. Is now you got him coming out and making these comments, which I loved it. When he when he kind of stirred the pot, I kind of thought he had a chance to come kind of slide in under the radar. Everybody sort of thinks this is going to be the whole media week. They get off the plane that it's going to be, oh, a mic in the face of Peyton, and it's just going to be like, is this your last game? We heard the comments that you made to Belichick. You know, storybook ending, sort of like, you know,
yeah.
Vice President John Elway.
But Peyton's been through this rodeo before, and Carolina hadn't. I mean, I don't think I had any players left from the last time they went to the Super Bowl. I doubt it.
Yeah, I'd have to look at their roster all the way around, but
I mean, I think Carolina's a better team, but I mean, you know, best team don't win. I mean, last year Seattle was a better team than New England, and they got beat because of their coaching.
Hey, look, I think for as great as Belichick is phenomenal in the film room and doing with what he does. I don't think he has great top-notch defensive talent. I think his linebackers are solid. I think Jamie Collins, I think Chandler Jones, fortunately for the Broncos, he's not the player he was earlier in the year. He's a little banged up. No more Vince Wilfork in the middle to clog things. I think their secondary is pretty good. I think they're well coached. The scheme.
Justin Coleman plays for them. They can't be too good.
No.
I mean, Lord help me.
I mean, they're getting as much out of him as they can. I mean, really more than you would ever expect. I agree with you there. Browner is not bad, but he cannot. Big physical receivers give him trouble. My thing is, and I love Gronk. I mean, I love the way he plays and his passion. But I'll tell you what, for all the love and the talk about how great, and Belichick is much deserved of a lot of it, I do think he always bends that, you know, he sort of kind of cuts corners and obviously pushes the envelope, way farther than anybody else. He'd be perfect for NASCAR, Philly.
Yeah, I think you put an asterisk, their championships.
I agree. But my thing with him is, where are the adjustments for your offensive line? On the next to last drive, I went back and watched that second half, and more, the thing that really puzzled me was he never did anything for adjustments, with the offensive line. Keep an H back in. Somebody just to, hey, you know what? Von Miller over here, it's friggin' Miller time. And that was the thing too, he was timing the snap count. There was no sort of cadence, anything that Brady was doing to try to mix it up, and I'm thinking, home crowd, thin air, he's timing it, the guy, you know, looked like he was, you know, 20-something out there just, you know, just going after it against a bunch of old men past their prime. I mean, he was getting in the backfield like 75% of it. I mean, it may not have been a sack, but just in Brady's head, Brady had to get rid. How many times did Brady just barely miss a guy? He had that running back, James White, at least three or four times on Trevathan, 59 for the Broncos.
Yeah.
He had him on a wheel route or an in and go, an inside route, a slant. And I'm like, dude, if he has a half a more second to step into that throw, it's not there. You know, a half a second before White turns around. And I'm like, just the timing. And that's what a pass rush will do. That pass rush, Wade Phillips was able to get to a Philly with three and four guys all day long.
Well, that's the best Denver defense I've ever seen. But getting back to Belichick, why didn't he kick field goals? I mean, he blew it. All lost these. They could have won that game, because Denver couldn't move the ball. I mean, just kick field goals and you eventually might win it. I mean.
Yeah, and you know what? Listen.
He panicked.
I think you could look at it and say, okay, unless New England really, like, took the lead and it was, say, a 2-minute drill and the Broncos were forced to play from behind and say they even need a field goal, I don't think you would have seen Kubiak allow them to audible out, check down and get aggressive. I think he knew, hey, we're going to play it close to the vest. We've got an elite defense. We're not going to beat ourselves. We're going to keep Peyton in here. But you know what? I'll say this about Peyton. I thought Philly, early on in that game, he made some really nice throws. I do believe, I still think there's some issues there, the gripping the football, the weather. You know, when that sun set and that weather, that temperature in Colorado, it dropped 10 to 12 degrees. That arm, he just did not, the arm did not look like he had that zip in it that he did early in the game. But I'll tell you what, man, maybe he's on the HGH, you know, whatever, more power to him.
Well, he's got a big head, I don't know that.
But you know what, Philly, he looks, you know, he can obviously plant. He's got that foundation with his feet now where he can, you know, the plantar fasciitis. But I'm telling you what, man, the guy has more zip on the ball than he did 6-8 weeks ago. There's no doubt.
Well, it's going to come down. Can he get enough passing offense to, because, you know, Carolina probably shut that running game down. So they're going to have to pass to win the game. I mean, it's that simple. Don't you think? I mean.
I agree. I think Peyton will have to make some plays. Again, I think it's going to have to be Sanders, Emmanuel Sanders, or someone like Cody Latimer. I think special team wise, and Broncos have been big with that.
Something else nobody's talked about is the special teams, the Broncos in that game. That's one of the reasons they won.
Yeah, Colquitt and his punting, and oh my God, and Trayvon Webster on, you know, flipping that ball back in. He's made some serious money this year. Just from his plays on special teams. But Philly, I'll say this, and we encourage you to call in 200-5402. How about CBS is going to continue using Mike Carey as their rules analyst, saying he is right way more often than not? What are these people smoking? I mean, have you sat there when you're watching the games and Jim Nance is just probably like, oh hell, we got to go to Mike Carey now. Mike Carey, what did you see, pal? And it's like, I really don't believe, I don't think that was a fumble. I don't think there's ever another, you know, and it's like, a ruling on the field has been reversed, and then he acts so shocked, and it's like Nance and Sims are just like snickering there, like,
oh really?
He's horrible. I mean, it's brutal how bad this guy is, and this guy's like in charge of CBS officials and rules, and I'm like, please just give us Ferreira, whatever his name is.
Yeah, I got pretty good on the
guy on Fox. Yeah, he looks like a mafia, mafia guy.
99% right too. I mean,
yeah, he gets it right more certainly. But CBS, man, what a joke. Philly, what about the basketball team, man? I know it was pretty tough the other night.
It looks like a 500 team if we're lucky. I mean, you're right, lack of depth, lack of talent. I mean, it's the least talented team over there since Kevin O'Neill's first team. I mean, they got some nice players, but nothing. They don't have a great player on the team.
Yeah, you got.
I mean, Punter's your best player. I mean, he's a good story, but he's playing over his ability.
Yeah, and he's playing out of position, like you said. If you had him,
guard,
just
no inside game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Hamer was talking about it the other night, calling the game with Blob, and he was talking about it, and he says, man, I'll continue to say, he said, this is my problem. He goes, you've been no point guard. He goes, Kevin Punter, he goes, they're doing a good job of you know, giving him breaks. But here's the problem. The guy comes back in the game, and, you know, then he's asked to guard their point guard or their two-scorer. He just wears him down. I don't care what anybody says, man. You can be in great shape, but when you're every night you're bringing the ball up, you're the focal point of the offense. That's one of the hardest things to do, is be the point guard and, you know when to, hey, reset it. Let's regroup. Let's bring it back out and let's run some clock, and we don't have to just settle for a quick three. And that's what they're doing a lot of times, Philly. They're either on or they're off. And they're just not getting anything out of, you know, and then poor old Monty Moore is just, he's just wearing.
I mean,
he's making some just crazy bonehead plays, but I think a lot of it's just because they're trying to do so much.
Yeah.
And he's just not an elite level player. He's a good player, but he makes stupid decisions. And I think a lot of it's just mental lapses and mental fatigue, because they, you know, again, they're so exhausted having to do so much. He's not getting anything inside from Reese. Guys.
The Kyle Alexander guy, he's probably a year away from helping him.
Yeah.
One more thing, Clown. I hope Laramie calls in and Robbie calls in, and you playing a little Van Halen. How about a little Guns N' Roses? They're going to get back together.
That's what I heard.
Nashville. Sweet child of mine, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
They got to get Ziggy back in there, though.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, I've heard, Philly, I've even heard that they're coming to Nashville.
Really?
Yep. I'm thinking maybe a little road trip right there, man.
That's like a good road trip, Clone. I mean,
it would. We'd get Lammy to go have a little.
We don't want Lammy to be the designated, though. We'd be in trouble, you know what I mean?
No, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
All right, Clone, you hang in there, bud. I'll call next week.
All right, buddy. See you, Philly.
See you.
Philly and I are big Guns N' Roses fan. Big Guns N' Roses fan. But I tell you what, Clone, I mean, that's bottom line is we gotta get some recruits in there, I mean. Let me see. I got a good one here, Philly, for Guns N' Roses. Let's see here.
Yep.
205-402 if you want to jump in with us. Let me see who we got right here before we get our first break. Hey, who we got?
I'll tell you what.
Hey, what up, dude?
Hey, what's Philly smoking, man? We're in ball games. Kevin O'Neill's teams were getting freaking blown out. What's he freaking smoking? I want some of it.
Did he comment on Kevin O'Neill? Because I didn't catch it.
Yeah. He said this is the worst team since Kevin O'Neill's first season after freaking O'Neill run everybody off.
Yeah, you know.
You know, Ed Gray, freaking Cortez Barnes, but at least Cortez Barnes freaking ransacked O'Neill's office with that freaking bald-headed SOB in the office at the time it was going on, so. It wasn't blindsided. It was right in freaking KO's freaking face.
Yes.
That's why he ain't freaking coaching anywhere, freaking Hatfield. He's not coaching no freaking where. He wasn't freaking wearing no orange when he was here in Tennessee. And freaking Barnes shouldn't even be coaching nowhere. But we got a freaking family for a freaking AD. Lambert Dave freaking Hart.
Yeah, and you know what?
Barnes might have been there, freaking Lambert Dave and Barnes were probably there in the mid-80s with freaking Barnes had his cup of coffee with Wimp Sanderson.
Hey, you know, Hatfield, if he had his way, he'd have Bobby Huggins in here. He said he's not going to rest till we get a guy like Huggins in here. What do you think about his take on the Lady Ballers?
I'm going to have Rick Bird down there in Nashville.
Yes.
Somebody that freaking got some damn, moxie in his early 60s. Not a damn, like Lambrico says, a freaking corpse
over
there.
Yes.
But I
what up, dude?
In this team, man. I got this team. We will go to the SEC tournament and win the freaking thing if that's what it takes to get an automatic bid. We will go to wherever the SEC tournament is going to be held at this year. I don't even know what that SEC tournament
starts in Nashville.
At.
Nashville, baby. Nashville. 9 years in a row, buddy. 9 years straight, brother.
Yeah. So if that's what it takes, we will do just that. We will go down there and freaking win the SEC tournament for the first time since 1979.
That almost had a John Ward to it. Good. Give him a brace.
Good.
Hey, TR, welcome into TR Radio Network here, according to Jay Setzer on the Twitter. Hey, T, let me ask you this. So looking at it with, I was joking with Tony, and I couldn't believe Tony actually, he let Hatfield just pile on the Lady Vols. I mean, you know, Holly, I know Holly's, she's just, the kids are not responding to her for whatever reason.
Did you watch the freaking Kentucky game? Did you catch any of the Lady Vols in Kentucky game?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Okay, so shut your damn mouth. I'm gone. Go Big Horn. Go Lady Vols.
Woo! Good job right there from T to the R. All right, some prop bets that we talked about. Highest scoring quarter, first quarter, 9-2 odds. Second quarter, 3-2. Third quarter, 4-1. Fourth quarter, 5-2. So it's obviously about adjustments, Butch Jones. Looking at those third quarter.
Yes. Yes.
You could be mine. You could be mine. I'm talking five star. I'm talking five star.
All right, so looking at total points scored in the game. These are prop bets. We may do something next week, too, here in the Neutral Zone. We usually do something for the Super Bowl, so we definitely will look at doing something. The total is, I think someone talked, was like 45.5 to 46.5. But here's your quarter breakdown. Or actually, excuse me, we just went over those. Total points scored in the game, 0 to 20 points, 20 to 1 odds, 21 to 30, 6 to 1. Obviously, where the line is actually set by the Vegas handicappers, the odds makers, 41 to 50 scale. Total points, again, both teams, 41 to 50, is 8 to 5 odds. So that's right in that, you know, right in the wheelhouse there for that 45.5, 46 point line. That seems to be the big. But you could make some, I'll tell you what,
Clone, I mean.
At 5 to 2, 31 to 40. I don't know, man. This game has 23-20 written all over it. Something in that possibility. I mean, 24-21 keeps you under. I mean, you buy the hook. And you got a full point to work with right there. Again, the line might have went up. Certainly it has on the side. Everyone's betting on the Panthers. I love it. I hope it keeps going up. And then my boy RJ Choppy will give us a points breakdown. I'm going to look at the smart money and see where that's going. We'll obviously get Maul Paxwell in here too.
Well, Clone, I'm, you know, shit, Clone, I'm last 20, just since the merger, Clone, I guess 71, 72, you know, Clone, you know, I've been wagering every year, and usually my prop bets, I've yet to have a Super Bowl where I've not been at least 7 out of 10 on my props, Clone.
All right, Maul Paxwell bringing it in. Winning margin. Could you imagine if the Broncos, how sweet would this be? If they rolled, I mean, look at these odds. I mean, it's obviously probably not going to happen. But the Broncos win that game by more than 13 points, 13 to 18. Very interesting, 12 to 1. There's a little nugget in here. This is what I tell people. These Vegas odds, the odds makers that set these lines, and we're going to go over more of this. I'm going to come back from the break, but I'm going to share something with you why I think Vegas sees something more in Denver than they do. I really believe they think it's sexy. She just got off the stage. She was hot in the red bikini. Talking of Panthers. Denver, they don't really have a sexy quarterback anymore. You know, he's playing just well enough to win. Great defense. People got to understand something. And this isn't just a Bronco homer coming in here trying to sway your you know, who you think's going to win. Carson Palmer's not been the same quarterback.
Well, he hasn't. He's not been a good quarterback.
Have you seen what his finger looked? I mean, it was all over social media. The guy looks like somebody pulled his finger out of socket. It's like twice the size of his other finger. Couldn't even hardly grip a football. The guy made some just crazy boneheaded throws. He gave them at least 21 points in that game. Now you can say, well, they won by more than 20. Yeah, sure. But take those 21 out and the positions you put your defense in, that's a totally different ball game. I don't think Peyton Manning's going to put his team in that situation.
205-402. Big black rabbit in your cocaine tongue, you got nothing done.
What up, dude?
Come on back with us right here in the neutral zone, 205-402, if you want to jump in. TR, certainly not lobbing any softballs in here tonight. You better wear your cup. Come on in, 205-402.
Moves. It's all covered, available 24/7 with a 1 hour notice. Royal Moving and Storage is locally owned, and we also do packing and internal moves too. Royal Moving and Storage does deliveries. Give my man Shane Grimes a call at 705-6928. That's 705-6928. 705-6928. Ready to move? Head to the Crown. The kings of moving and storage. Royal Moving and Storage.
With the fall upon us and football season here, finally, you can take all those honeydew items off your list. Check them off your list. Call my good friend Gene over at Knox Home Improvement at 386-9551.
Gentlemen.
Gene is the man with home improvement.
He is the quarterback in the Knoxville home improvement area.
Mike Weird, what's his business called?
Knox Home Improvement. 386-9551.
Whether it's interior, exterior, he can take great care of you.
TR, you tell me.
Hey, yeah, man, this guy's next level, brighter. Knox Home Improvement, dude.
He is the quarterback in the home improvement. He can do gutters. You've got gutter cleaning. He'll install siding. Pretty much anything.
Hardwood flooring.
Hardwood flooring, absolutely.
Painting?
Yes.
Knox Home Improvement. Call my boy Gene, 386-9551.
He do plumbing?
No, he doesn't.
No electrical, no plumbing. You know, if you need a doggy door installed, I'm sure this guy can do it for you. Gene at Knox Home Improvement, 386-9551.
Basilio here with the Clone. Cloney, tell me about Pow Station.
Well, it was formerly Vic's Craft Beer Garden. Unbelievable atmosphere. Pet-friendly, under new management. 27 beers on tap. You gotta love it.
27 beers on tap? That can make for quite a happy round table.
Yeah, man.
I tell you what, those growler sales and four packs and six packs to go, it's beautiful. 2 to 7 every day, a happy hour, $3.50 pints.
2 to 7 every day, happy hour. What was the deal on the pints again, Steve?
$3.50.
Yeah, you mumble a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. Be a good, fun time down there to have you down there strumming the six string, because they got live music, too, and you can check their Facebook for that.
And they have great food to eat there, too, right, Cloney, at Pow Station?
Well, they do. They have great food, and you can even take it outside over a covered porch. TV's outside for great viewing. Football season's right around the corner. Let this place be the quarterback for the Knoxville craft beer destination.
Pow Station on the Bill Clinton Highway.
Right there across from Home Depot on Shod Road.
Pow Station, be there. Basilio's on a roll. Yeah, I mean really on a roll at the sushi spot.
Come try my roll with crab yellowtail, jalapenos, tuna, spicy eel sauce, spicy spot sauce, sriracha, green onion, and tobiko. Yes. And Yoshi. And remember, Sushi Spot has a full hibachi menu if you like it hot, as well as traditional rolls, as well as specialty rolls like the basilio. And from the nigiri to the sashimi to the maki or just tamaki, Sushi Spot always delivers with a fresh and delicious taste. Also, your home sushitizers. And remember, Sushi Spot features daily lunch specials and great dinner time deals too. Sushi Spot, where Basilio's on a roll, and you will be too. A great spot for lunch or dinner, Monday through Saturday off Emory Road, next to Tanoba North. You can eat it raw or not, but eat it at the Sushi Spot. Basilio here with a tip for the gambler out there. If you're going to gamble on a pre-owned car, do it with my friends at Carnes Motor Company. Rob, Brian, and Gino will take great care of you, as they have me for years. And all cars are inspected by a certified mechanic. And they do bumper-to-bumper service work there, too, with trained mechanics. When you're ready to gamble on a pre-owned vehicle, do it with Carnes Motor Company.
Join me Thursday night, 7 Eastern, in the Neutral Zone with the Clone here on TonyBasilio.com. And I guess on one of them old smartphone apps. Okay, then. Now,
she's been playing at her room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas.
I think they win the game.
Every night she looks in the mirror, she only ages. She's been reading about everybody's buying.
I dropped my damn
tears. Says I'm a simple girl myself.
Grew up in Mexico.
Come on back in 200-5402.
So she packs her bags to try her hand. Says this might be my last chance. She's gone country. Look at them boots.
All right, jump on back in here with us. 200-5402. So the this all, well, they're calling the Super Bowl Golden Team. Obviously, 50th Super Bowl.
Well, the folks seems dead, but he's holding.
I guess Vice President of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Joe Horgan. They unveiled the Super Bowl Golden Team. Here you go. We're going to read this off real quick. Some I agree with, some I don't. 26 players, obviously, offense, defense, specialists. 22 are in the Hall of Fame. Quarterback Joe Montana, running back Franco Harris. Now, these are guys, obviously, they had to have played in several Super Bowls. Emmitt Smith, Jerry Rice, Lynn Swan, Jay Novacek, Art Shell, Forrest Gregg, Gene Upshaw, Larry Allen, Mike Webster. Hard to argue with those guys up front. Kind of interesting that none of the Hogs are up there. Defensive end, Reggie White, Charles Haley, Joe Green, Mean Joe Green, Randy White, LT, Lawrence Taylor, Jack Ham, Jack Lambert, Ray Lewis, Mel Blount, Deion Sanders, Ronnie Lott, Jake Scott, Adam Vinatieri, Desmond Howard as your punt returner, kick returner, and Ray Guy. Coach Chuck Knoll. 8 Pittsburgh Steelers were selected, most of any team. Noticeably absent, however, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, the Patriots quarterback and coach, obviously winning 4 Super Bowls with an asterisk. Though neither Montana nor Knoll, Chuck Knoll, who won 4 Super Bowls, by the way, were never involved in NFL-related controversies. Conspiratorial or contrived, anything like that. Here he comes. Report out, Tom Brady could be suspended for up to 1 year. I'm going to say something, though. I see all these great catches from yesteryear, from today. Obviously, the David Tyree with Rodney Harrison, and he pins it on his. Now, that wasn't a game winner, but essentially that was a third and long, and he makes that one of the most crazy catches you'll ever see. That play could be reenacted. I mean, literally. Well, I don't even know if he could reenact that, but if that play occurred 10 times, Rodney Harrison either blows him up or knocks the ball out of there at least 8 times. But for him to get that kind of that'll go down as one of the greatest just crazy catches. But the game-winning catches, the one that that really just blows me away still the more and more I see it, is the Stone-Tonio Holmes catch against Arizona. You can talk about the Dwight Clark, and I know that was NFC Championship game against the Cowboys. The catch, they label it. Sure, fantastic catch. Montana holds it. He double clutches, triple clutches, and throws it where only Dwight Clark can catch it. There's 5 or 6 tight ends in the league today that make that catch in this era. Gates catches it. Tony Gonzalez would have caught that with very little effort. An early Jason Witten might go up and catch that ball. I don't know. I mean, the guy in Seattle, gosh, all world that was with the Saints, he would have caught it. Greg Olsen probably catches that ball. My point being, the catch that Santonio Holmes makes. And you know what kills me is that when they show it, it's the greatest receptions to win a game. Montana back to pass. Montana, John Taylor splits the Bengals. That's not even close. Was that a great drive? Ice water in his veins? Absolutely. But I don't even think that's close to that Santonio Holmes. It's not just about the clutchness and the moment in the moment. To me, it's freaking Roethlisberger throws a dart. That's not even a touch pass. He throws that thing where only one guy who goes up and makes that kind of catch, and to drag his feet the way he did, that catch blows any of those other catches away, other than the David Tyree catch. It's bigger, obviously, the moment, but the David Tyree catch sets up the double move, one-on-one, Eli sees, you know, Plaxico out on the safety, or out on the corner, one-on-one, no safety help. It's easy money. He throws it to Plaxico, and the David Tyree catch sets that up, and that's what people are going to remember, and they should. Lynn Swann against the Rams, that great catch over the middle. Those are better plays than the John Taylor. Welcome in, Neutral Zone. Who we got?
I clone.
Jeeker, what's up, buddy?
I'm back here, and if I lose you, it's because I'm back here in Food City with Miss G for trying to get some groceries.
Hey, yeah, check for some Schlitz and long neck.
Hey, she's got sling on her arm. She had surgery where she broke her wrist in 3 places. But my internet's cut off because I couldn't afford to pay AT&T the bill, and I refused to pay the $50 reconnect fee. So that's why I was calling in, but I got an ATB out from Jeke Jr. He's over in Union County in spring training for baseball, and
nice.
He told me T.R. was going off.
Yeah, he was pretty critical of people being down on this basketball program. And Rick Barnes and saying, you know, basically you get down to Nashville, you know, you hang out with, you know, Coach Barnes can kind of stay up in the team hotel while the The guys go out on the town, hit Tootsie's, hit a couple of Wild Horse Saloon, and he can sit up there and watch what was the show Jerry Green used to watch all the time, you know, the retirees watch. But hey, look, you know, Barnes has just got to get some players in here.
And I think he will. But Dick Jr. said he was going off on people criticizing Holly.
Yeah, that was, it was pretty much, it was just parlaying with what he was going off on Hatfield. Apparently Hatfield's been a little too critical of Holly. Man, I don't know how you can be critical of that. I mean, unless you're friggin', hey, look, I love my boy TR, but unless you're, you know, you're being paid by the Vol Network and you're over there, you know, slopping it up and you're having to, you know, you have to be careful what you're saying, who signs your check, but, you know, like Doc.
All right.
I mean,
hey, even Doc.
That's a miserable basketball, and she's just not getting any response from that team.
Hey, Miss G, she's cussing me now.
Uh-oh.
But I'll tell you what, even Doc's been kind of critical of Holly. But I'll tell you what, you know what I've started doing since I started back to work?
What's that?
I've started listening to Doc, Jeff, and Heather. Because it makes me laugh so damn hard on my way to work.
All right.
of the stupidity that comes out of their mouth, I'm kind of getting into it.
I tell you what, man, the entertainment is yuck. I mean, I don't know, man. It's been crazy here lately. But yeah, you know, I've kind of grown. I tell you, man, I've been getting into, I've been listening to some national stuff, but on Fox Sports Radio, I think Houston Crest does a really good job. I've gotten into his show.
Hey, Clone, you're exactly right. I've started listening to them, but I can't get them on the air until I get to about the Knox County line. So I can't get them in Jefferson County. So I listen to the idiots while I'm in Jefferson County because they fit right in up here. And then I switch it over to 1340 AM?
Yeah.
I switch it over, about the time I get past restaurant school. So, I think those guys do a really good job.
They do. I really like the Poizel guy in the evening. I've heard him some before. He's really sharp with NFL. Really, really solid. Rich Eisen is, just, I mean, dude, he's very informative. There's a lot of humor in it.
And I've started listening in the afternoon. All right. While I'm at work.
All right.
I love it. Yeah.
I love hearing Roger call into the snooze machine and tune him up in the afternoon.
Hey, what up, dude?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that ain't what up, dude, man.
Hey, thanks for calling, Jeeker.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I would rather listen to cricket than I would what is that deal? Will West and Josh Ward. That's the worst show I've ever listened to in my life.
I think Will does a pretty good job with it.
I think Will sucks.
Hey, thanks for calling, Jeeker.
All right, see you, buddy.
now the other one, he's a little too dry for me. I can't handle Josh Ward.
Hey, what up, dude?
Hey, what up, dude?
You know, I mean, he gives the updates on Phil Williams.
Yes. Yes.
I just can't stand listening to Will
West's work. Hey, dude, I'll tell you what, dude, I crushed 4,500 push-ups, and then I'll tell you what, dude, this new vape is crunk. I've got a pineapple upside down cake vape, and it is off the hook.
Heard from Lammy yet tonight?
He's on hold. I'm fixing to go to Lammy. By the way, on the Twitter. People are asking, will Jeet Jr. be the Danny El Monte of Tennessee high school baseball this year?
Hey, he's 19. So, and he's probably the oldest player in the state of Tennessee, because as long as you don't turn 19 before August the 1st of your senior year, you're eligible. And his birthday's August 17th, so he's probably the oldest player in the state.
Nice. All right, Jeeker. Hey, Jeek. Final parting shot out the door here. Who's your Super Bowl? Seriously, I know you want the... See you, Jeeker. All right, let's...